This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
It's like living in a simulation outside. Every day you wake up, there's going to be snow. It's going to be cold as hell, and you just keep powering through.
It seems like midweek for the last, I don't know, umpteen weeks, we get a dumping of snow on
Shut
top
up,
of us.
Guys. You were in Louisiana like 2 weeks ago.
It doesn't matter, we're not here anymore. Yeah. It sucks, man.
And we came back.
Snow.
We got introduced to it again.
God, I mean, like 2 weeks in a row now, we've got this. Kids are going to school till July 15th this year. They can have it.
Breaking news, there's actually no summer break.
Yeah, no summer break this year. It's all been canceled because of the weather out there. But this morning, it was okay driving in. There were some lanes on the highway and whatnot. You just got to be
there's
careful.
Lanes on the highway.
Now, hopefully, yeah. There's lanes. Yeah, I don't know if all the snow covered it, but I had a pathway for a while anyway.
Yeah.
This morning, so hopefully you guys have a pathway as well, and you get to where you're going, and you're safe, and everybody's okay today.
Did you have one of those Tommy toolboxes that...
Now, I had a couple of those guys, yeah. Couple of those guys, they had truck nuts hanging off today and whatnot.
I didn't really see that, but I did have one of those guys. Big, souped-up truck, power stroke, bright-ass lights.
Right,
all right, dude. Have fun getting to work early because you're the only one.
That's right. Everything's closed today, so you're not going anywhere there,
I just
Bill.
Don't understand those people, dude.
Now, they don't understand why you're not driving that way, too.
I'm going 65, middle lane.
Yeah, I mean, it was doing the speed limit in the snow today. You're doing just fine. Yeah.
All right, Dave.
Yep.
Enjoy your drive to work.
Oh, he was getting after it. I think I had two guys in big trucks kind of floor up past me today on the highway in the snowy covered areas as well. They didn't want to wait. Can't wait beyond
the
line of traffic.
Snow's not like, this is tough because I'm not a snow expert anymore. And it's weird because like it's so light and like just fluffy that it's not dense. It's not like wet snow.
Right.
So it just blows everywhere. So, I mean, I get it. Like it might look like a snow packed lane, but in reality, it's just like, it's there because nobody's driving on it, but like still like 85 passing people to get to work. Like I bet your boss is going to be really happy that you got there an hour before everyone else just to sit on your ass and drink your coffee.
That's exactly right. Like, and you get bonus points. Do you think your boss is there at this hour? Probably not. There's no chance your boss is there
probably
at this hour.
Probably at home with the kids.
Yeah, where everybody's going to be for the next week in sub-zero temperatures, which, by the way, I just found out this morning, and I was telling you, Messi was supposed to come to town for a game, and it's like,
not
I ain't
anymore,
going there.
He's not.
There's no chance I'm going to Kansas.
Yeah, I saw that news package last night. It had, like, Peter Vermees on it, and they're out there practicing. I'm like, what the hell are they practicing for soccer for? Like, well, the season starts tomorrow.
Soccer never ends. Like,
no,
honest
really
to
doesn't.
God, it just keeps going and going and going and going. You think the season ends, and then all of a sudden it's like, wait a second, they're starting spring camp before baseball does.
Yeah, there's a lot of long, like, hockey's a long season. NBA is a long season, Major League Baseball, soccer, like it's nuts.
Soccer, like never seemingly, like there's no off season for soccer.
You have, like,
it
your
just
different
goes.
Cups and your different like leagues. Like there's UEFA, there's English Premier, there's the like FA Cup, and then you have MLS.
Yeah, and then you got some other league that's going to apparently get started. But I mean, like if you're going out to this game tonight or tomorrow, I guess they moved it to tomorrow now with this Inter Miami thing. It's going to be colder than the Chiefs Dolphins game. You're a sicko, man. Yeah. If you're going to go sit out that. I'll just be honest with you. You're nuts. No yeah. chance I'm doing that.
Nah, I mean, you got to really, 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 really love American football or American
or Messi.
But Messi's not playing.
It's like he's letting you know right now.
Yeah.
Is there any athlete, management. Is there any athlete past or present that you'd bear that sort of
no.
weather for? Past or present.
Okay. If Babe Ruth showed up, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Brian like, Babe Ruth's going to be there.
I mean, no, I don't think so. Yeah, no, gotcha. I don't think so. Not in this kind of weather. It's too cold to sit outside. Yeah. I mean, you let the dog outside for 2 seconds and it's like you're right back
like,
in.
Please,
it's bitter cold. I mean, it's ridiculous to sit outside in this cold. I don't care who's showing up to participate. Yeah. I mean, my God,
I remember, I think it was like, was it opening day? No, it wasn't opening day, but it was close. It was like April. And I remember Otani came to town. We just talked about this not too long ago. We talked about it before the show started. Like I was there again, press box. I had a luxury seat, but it was, I think like 34 degrees, like Fahrenheit, like 19 Celsius is how Alex looks at weather and temperatures. And they call the game due to like a freezing mix
cold.
And
yeah.
too cold. And I remember after the game, they asked me, like, have you ever played baseball in like night? Because I think in Japan they use Celsius. And like a reporter asked him, like, have you ever played, you know, baseball in this degree Celsius? He's like, no.
Yeah, no, nobody.
Yeah, he's like, absolutely not, dude.
No, like, no chance. But see, that's different. That you get a series, right, in baseball. This is like once in an opportunity to see Messi for the second time in a year. Yep.
And I think the last time he came, he played like the last 5 minutes of the game. Still scored a goal.
Yeah, like got on the field. But you can get tickets for under like $25, a couple hundred left. But he's not going to be there. So if he's not going to be there, Inter Miami versus Sporting KC, does that get you to move off the couch? I don't know that it does, you know, especially for the first game of the year in sub-degree temperatures. And even if Messi's there at this point in time playing in a game like this, I don't know that that's getting me to move off the couch.
At least he's letting you know.
That's exactly right,
like,
yeah.
Unlike LeBron James, who let everybody know an hour before the game started, I don't think I'm going
to
play today.
You wonder why people don't like the NBA. The biggest time to capture fans and your biggest star bails an hour before the game. Like that's a Richard move right there by LeBron James.
Time.
Big time Richard
big
move,
time.
Right? And so when people say, well, I don't like the NBA because of, you know, the way the players, you know, handle themselves with the opt outs or whatever we call those, the rest and the days where they're not going to play.
The load management.
That's the word I'm looking for. I don't blame them. And to do that on an hour before the All-Star game when you're going to be struggling anyway to keep up with hockey over the weekend, like, that's just a bad look for the NBA. I don't blame anybody who complains about not liking the NBA after that move by LeBron James. And you're right. At least Messi has said, I ain't playing in this weather. LeBron no-shows the All-Star game. That is a terrible, terrible look for what is supposed to be the face of your league.
Like, you can't walk down the court and throw some lobs. You can't shoot a three. I mean, that's what the All-Star game is.
Right.
It's a layup line.
No,
it's
actually,
lobs,
the
it's...
NBA All-Star game is...
It's a big bundle of suck, doesn't it?
Touché.
That's exactly what it is. But I mean, we're not asking you to go out there and exert yourself or even break a sweat. It's for the fans, and you want to know why your league is in the tank and why nobody's watching your league and the ratings are down. Your number one star doesn't show up for an All-Star game? Seriously.
No. He showed up. He was there. He showed up, took the team photo, couldn't even put the damn team jersey on, and, you know, dismounted himself. Was it really an hour?
It was a couple hours before. It was that night.
Okay. So here's my problem, because you cannot defend this. And, like, LeBron is, like, the cleanest, most hated athlete.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, right? he's got no rap sheet whatsoever.
Married his high school sweetheart, has never broken the law that we know of.
Right.
Has never been caught like with a camera on the phone on the street.
Literally nothing.
Donates a ton of money.
Oh yeah.
But like, tweets dumb stuff at the wrong time.
Right.
Does selfish moves like this.
Right.
And it just like makes you like, this is again why like I don't understand the hatred towards Patrick Mahomes. Like, Mahomes isn't, like, sending cringe text messages. He isn't, or tweets. He's not sending, like, are doing things that, like, where it's like, you know, after a Super Bowl loss, he, you know, walks away from the podium, or, you know,
he spoke for like 12 minutes or something that night and answered every damn question.
Or he's committed adultery, or he's had some sort of domestic violence. None of that has happened. But people are like, oh, you know, I'm home.
Well, it's the winning. Yeah, it's the winning. We don't like winners.
Whereas, like, LeBron, again, no, like you said, no bad rap sheet. But then it's stuff like this where you're just like, dude, like, one, that could have gone to a somebody else to get a roster bonus.
Absolutely could have. That's a $50,000 bonus or something.
It blocks that.
Yeah.
So that's annoying. Two, you've made it all about yourself.
All
because
about you.
While everyone else is in the locker room, dressed out for the game, ready to go, you show up in casual street clothes, dap everyone up to let everyone know that you're there, and then take the photo in your street clothes. And not only that, you come out in front of everybody in the intros and give all the fans a high five in your street clothes.
And then don't play in the game. And the problem is the other players in the locker room should have been pissed off about that, too. They're like, man, I'm here. I don't want to run through hoops of fire and do all this nonsense and jump over cars or what other clown show that Adam Silver's rolling out there for these guys to participate in during All-Star Weekend. And those are the guys who should be mad, quite honestly, because they're giving up their free time as well to show up to this. But they did it. They showed up and they played and they participated and they gave the fans what they want. I'm so over sports complaining about, oh, we're losing fan interest here, we're losing fan interest there. You're losing fan interest because of you. You're losing fan interest because of the way you go about business. The average American citizen watches sports, right? I'm the average American guy. The NBA didn't do anything to win me over this weekend. No. But I'll tell you what else it didn't do. LeBron James is a guy who has to go to work every day. We all go to work every day. We just can't opt out on a work day when we feel like it, or we just don't feel like today. Well, I know, but we're talking about normal people here, right? The average American person just can't opt out of a workday when they want. So we can't relate to that. Like, I can't relate to load management in the NBA. I understand why it's there. I get it. But as a working class stiff, you know, we work, what, 5 days a week? NBA players play a game two or three times per week. Fans pay a lot of money to go watch you guys play. You need to be there. This is why the NBA loses popularity and loses TV ratings.
Or let people know ahead of time.
Yeah, like, just say you're not going to be
like,
there.
Hey, I'm like, the minute you got selected, you knew you weren't playing.
Right, just opt out there and be done with it.
You knew you weren't playing, and then you're going to come out here and give some BS like, I got an ankle and a foot, and then I guarantee you, you'll be back Tuesday night dunking and ooping and running and sliding and defending and all that sort of stuff. So my big problem with it is you made an individual moment out of what is known to be a league moment. Like, the way that I look at this, and this is a very weird analogy. Let's say we were doing like a super big Super Bowl playoff featured show.
Okay.
And it was going to be you and Carrington and Alex, three of the biggest faces of the station, right? And there's Mac, who just got here at 26.
Right.
Right? He'd love to rip some Super Bowl takes.
Oh, yeah.
And then the day of, you're like, you know what? I'm just not going to do it. So instead of you telling Mac, like, hey, buddy, why don't you go in and use the platform on one of the most highest listening days where people can hear your voice nationwide and locally and hear what you have to say about the Chiefs, I'm going to sit this one out because I've done this before. I'm going to stay at home with my family, and I just don't really feel like doing it on a Sunday. It's my day off. I work Monday through Friday. Mac would be like, thanks, Bob. Appreciate that. But instead, on the day of, you're like, I'm not going to be there. Then it becomes a Carrington-Alex Gold show, and Mac's like, well, I would have gone in.
Yeah, right.
And
yeah,
like, that's
an hour before.
I think the same thing.
Yeah,
like, LeBron just told
relate.
A kid that get 50,000. Like, the guy that won the dunk competition.
Mac McClung.
Yep. He won $300,000 for that piss-poor event, and he makes $130K a year.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, that's a great payday for that dude, right? Like, but
3 years
in a
row now.
But that's what you took away. Like, LeBron took that away from somebody who 100%. Could have had a roster spot and all
this.
And meanwhile, like, hockey is kicking your ass because,
kicking Canadian
ass. Kicking Canada ass. Like, the start of that Canada-USA game was the greatest start to a game I've ever seen. I've never seen 3 seconds in, we've already got people in the penalty box. Yeah. Both Kachucks are in the box, and then another guy, like, it was...
That's what happens when you boo America.
That's exactly right. And you notice last night, the Americans did not boo the Canadian National Anthem.
Not
one boo. So congratulations to Boston fans who did not boo. I love it. Binkley was not too happy about it last night. I don't understand why they're not booing. I go, because we're classy, Jay. We're not going to sit here and
sit
boo.
Down.
My other thing is, maybe this is going to make me sound like an idiot, and then we'll go to break.
Do they do this every year?
No, no, no.
This is the first time?
This is the first time Canada and the United States have played in 9 years,
yeah.
right?
Keep doing it.
But if you keep doing it, does it lose its kind of luster?
Do it every, like, 2 years. Do it like the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, like every couple of years. There's nothing better in hockey than international hockey.
No.
And these guys are raised their whole lives to play for their countries.
The only time I watch hockey is the Olympics.
And so when they had the opportunity to play for their country, boy, they all jumped in. And they jumped at it. And they want to be out there. And they want to play. And Thursday night's going to be spectacular. USA Canada for this championship again. I mean, game two of these two countries fighting off that really don't like each other right now on the ice or off the ice. Like, it's got everything. I mean, hockey took a level up. I just wish there was a way to bring that into the NHL, you know?
Let's hold on to this conversation and revamp it around the other side, because we can do some comps between the NFL and the or NHL and the NBA. Plus, we'll talk about what the Royals, who had a dynamite weekend. If you were sleeping on it, I'm sorry, but they did a lot of big things this weekend, so good for them. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5, Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Right back on it here on 96.5 The Fan, Fesco, Mac, Dusty with you on a Tuesday. Everybody loves Tuesdays.
Tuesday will be good today. It's a snow day. I get home, everybody's going to be bored. Half the house will be asleep. And
there'll be one person that won't, two people that won't be asleep. By the way, guys, we got to get out of here after the show. There's a whole lot of snow coming. A
lot of snow still coming. So 9:58, we are hitting the door, and I ain't even kidding about
that. I'm going to wait until Mac leaves because he pinned me in my car in the parking lot.
Stop.
Whole effing parking lot.
Whole parking lot. Why did you park right next to Dusty?
He had a great parking spot.
So that doesn't mean you copy. I mean, use your own brain.
Basically what he did is we had the whole damn bathroom open, and he took a piss right next to my urinal.
Yeah, exactly. He saddled up to you.
Did you go see it? He's like wedged into my driver's side.
Yeah, like
he's fine.
Yeah.
Like, he over here.
I moved a little bit. I run out and moved back. You're fine.
I originally backed in, and then I pulled forward because I just felt like it was easier to get out for me.
I saw you do that. I'm like, did we have like a little OCD moment here? Like,
well,
you backed in, and I saw your tires go forward.
A little bit.
It's like our thing. We always, when it's snow like this, you back into the spots.
I did, and then I was like, I don't want to, the patch and the whole thing. I just, whatever, right? And so it's the whole parking lot. It's like going into an Arrowhead bathroom, and there's 50 urinals on the wall, and the dude saddles up right next to you.
Yep.
I mean, at least you could have pulled a Jay-Z years ago in the Superdome where he had the entire bathroom shut down so he could go by himself. I mean,
that's what I need.
Ask Alex and Josh. I try to walk in the bathroom, and they're standing outside. Like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm trying to pee. They're like, oh, Jay-Z's in there. You're not allowed in.
Wow. that is
Jay-Z's bladder is more important.
Jay-Z had the whole bathroom shut down so he could take a leak, and it was as big as this parking lot, right? I mean, and then you saddle up right next to him. It's like, you, come on.
Sorry.
No, I get his struggle. If I had that kind of money, I'd do the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
He'd park right next to you like Mac did, or you'd have the bathroom closed down?
Closed down.
Closed down, baby.
It's halftime, dude. Come on. We're all out here. 1 second. It'll go quicker. Trust me.
Seriously.
No, I love that we were talking about the NBA and NHL last break, because that's where we're at in sports.
Well, yeah, but yeah.
The NHL did something this week, and they'll continue to do it, or I guess last week and continue to do it this week. The whole, battle of the countries is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, they're going to be forced with a tough hand, because how can you continue to grow this and keep it, you know, relevant?
And do you change countries? Because I don't know if changing countries is even the right answer for this.
And I don't necessarily need to lean heavily on that thought process, because there is still a whole lot of there's still things that can happen. But again, it reminded me kind of the first year they did the World Baseball Classic, where you had. You know, you're a hockey nut. I'll admit that. I think we can admit that.
Well,
you
I don't know that I'm a nut, but I enjoy the game a lot.
Yeah, but you come from an area where hockey was vital.
We probably played more hockey growing up than any other sport.
Right.
Yeah.
I've never played hockey once in my life. I've seen 3 hockey games in my entire 37 years of being on this earth. And I think when you look at that, I would consider myself a baseball nut. And when the World Baseball Classic came out, and my friends who were like, I was like, no, this is cool. This is United States, Canada. Not only that, you find out guys that play on league teams and where their country is. Like, first year of the World Baseball Classic was there, Aaron Guile played for the team Canada.
Yeah, that's right.
He did. Weird. That's a Royals player, but he's considered one of the better players in Canada. Their team was Aaron Guile.
Think about their team.
Justin Morneau.
Yeah.
I mean, they beat our ass. Yeah. So, I mean, Canada had a really good team that you didn't know about. So, you watch that and you gain interest, because all of a sudden now you start to realize that guys that you root for, and now they're on, you know, and where their country is, you're like, oh, well, now I hate that guy because he plays for Team Canada, or I hate that guy because he plays for Team, like Salvi, yeah, right? Venezuela. And then all of a sudden you look at Venezuela's team, you're like, ah, no wonder there's a lot of these guys in the league. This team is stacked.
There was
Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, those type of teams. You're like, oh, okay. This is like basically half the Los Angeles Dodgers roster is in Venezuela.
There was some dude playing for the United States, and I can't remember who it was, but he was also a Toronto Maple Leaf, and that game being played in Montreal gave him double reason.
Twisted
fan base. Yeah. They were double
and
booing, you know?
Where they do that so well, and it's something as simplistic as, why don't we just have everybody play for their country mid-season and do it in the wintertime, and also, let's do it right after the Super Bowl, right before March Madness, right in the lull of the NBA season's All-Star game. Nothing else will be on, and it'll be entertaining. And then we got an added bonus because, well, Canada thought it'd be a great idea to boo the national anthem of the United States.
Right.
And then they all just got their ass kicked, which makes more people into it, which maybe it was a setup or not, but I mean, like, you cause anger, people will attract to it to see their team stand up.
Yeah.
And I mean everybody, and I mean The Rock means everybody, was texting in our group thread like, go to blah, blah, blah right now. It's a brawl.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Everybody's watching that last night. Yeah. I mean, it was magical. I mean, that's the way you start a sporting event, right? Like, you get everything out right at the beginning, like they did. We knew that this was going to be bad blood going in because of, you know, Canada and the United States, these guys play against each other. The thing, though, that you have to be able to do to make something like this work in sports is you have to have the buy-in from the players in something like this. And you clearly do in hockey. Again, as I said, like, you are raised playing for your team. Like, when I was a kid playing street hockey and then pond hockey and all this kind of stuff, it wasn't wearing Devil's gear. It was the United. I had my mask painted the United States, red, white, and blue, and three.
Okay, as I say, you were very old.
No. That was nothing. But every Olympics after that was like, you're going to live up to the, you know, Miracle on Ice 1980. Mm-hmm. You know, so then it was 84, and then it was 88, and then we're painting our face mask. I was a goalie, obviously, because I was bigger, but red, white, and blue with the stars all over it. Like, that, you know, that's kind of how we grow. So you have to have the buy-in from the players. In hockey, you are raised that you are playing for your country first and then your NHL team second. So I don't know that you have that in the NBA. You clearly have that in Major League Baseball with the buy-in for the country. That's why the World Baseball Classic works. That's why those guys.
Yeah, you got Trout versus Ohtani at the time put on the same team.
Unbelievable, right? Yeah. Like, that's giving you goosebumps thinking about stuff like that. So you've got to be able to take these moments and then expand them to grow your game. I think hockey did a good job with that. We'll see if it continues once the NHL, you know, starts back up. But in order to have a great event like this, you have to have the buy-in from those players playing for their country. Hockey and baseball lend itself to that.
And the NBA is just struggling. Like, I had some idea that the All-Star game was going on this weekend, but I had forgotten about it. So I don't know if that makes sense. Like, I knew that the All-Star game was coming because I obviously am a degenerate better. And I knew there weren't any games on Friday or Saturday. And I remember somebody saying, oh, this is the first time. And, like, whatever, there's no, like, basketball, baseball, football, whatever it was.
Yeah, we went from
that
sports equinox to a sports noquinox, you know? I mean.
So I was, you know, lost in that. And then all of a sudden I'm like, man, I remember when I was a child and I would get excited for the three-point competition, the dunk competition, and the skill set.
Because you saw Spud Webb dunk, and that guy was like 5'4" dunking, and it was awesome.
Yeah, a little ahead of my time. More so like Vince Carter.
Nate Robinson would have been there.
Yeah, that was up there.
Same. Like Dominique Wilkins, my day, you know, like that guy could dunk,
Jordan,
man.
Whatever. And like nowadays, I don't know the contestants.
You don't know who any of these people are.
I know the guy that won this year has won it now 3 years in a row.
Yep, plays in the G League. Game playing the NBA.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, doesn't
plays in the
play
G League.
NBA. Three
years
in a row now. Out there winning the dunk competition because nobody wants to do it. But the NBA is, they're kind of contradictory.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe not kind of, but they're like, no one respects our sport.
Right.
But then you see this where, like, Draymond Green, an active player and a podcaster of the NBA, is literally trashing your product live on air. And I know some people roll their eyes and say, Dusty, come on. It's Draymond Green.
But he's telling the truth.
But again, it's the part of it that I'm getting to that, like, everyone is defending Draymond. Barkley, Shaq, Ernie, Kenny.
You got those guys defending
you. And they're the face of the NBA.
That's the face of the league.
And they don't even play.
They do more for the NBA than any player does.
And literally. And like, here we go. All-Star Weekend. Look, Major League All-Star Weekend in baseball. is boring. It sucks. But you know what? We know that we're going to watch Home Run Derby. Mm-hmm. We know that we're going to watch a little bit of that meaningless softball celebrity game because that's what we put on before we go to bed Monday night at 9 o'clock.
That was taped on Sunday at 2. Yeah,
exactly. And you're like, why is it daylight? Yeah. And so like, and then the All-Star game, we watch the introductions. We watch the guys come out for a little bit. And then when you're like, all right, 0-0 in the fourth, I'm out.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine.
That's fine.
But like the NBA, the hell was the, what was that? Four quarters?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Not the bunch of nothing. And I thought Danny Parkins had a really good point. USA versus the world.
You got to get the buy-in from the players, though. And I don't know if you, have the – you won't get the buy-in from the players.
I don't think you would at all.
You get the world. Why? Well, you would because you get it in the Olympics.
Yeah, I was going to say, they love the Olympics.
And
they
put a good price tag on it where, like, the winning team gets $200,000 per player.
I don't know that that's enough. I think you'd have to put $1 million per player type
again,
of thing on it.
And, what we just talked about in hockey, the main focus in the World Baseball Classic, you versus the world.
Yeah.
There's something about that sentence that brings out an athlete. Like when you bring out, it's like, hey, it's us versus, you know.
Yeah.
And again, that would be a very
challenging. Because you do hear that from athletes all the time. It's us versus the world. Nobody's giving us any, you know, Philadelphia,
and
right?
Like that, yeah. And that's the thing is like, that would actually be a really good game because the world, I mean, the United States have to go against like Wembanyama, the Greek Freak, and the Joker.
Right.
Like, that's the world's three big men.
Yeah. The world would probably win.
Not put him into one category.
Those three tall guys.
Because LeBron wouldn't show up. He'd be like, it's not fair.
Like,
I'm not
playing.
Their
three big men are 7 feet tall, and you can't teach that.
Okay, you can't teach height
now,
or speed,
right? The world would have, like, SGA. They would have, like, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, LeBron James, maybe.
LeBron wouldn't show.
And guys like that, whereas like that would be actually entertaining if you did United States versus the world. But again,
as long as you got the buy-in and had fisticuffs 3 seconds in like we did in hockey and had that kind of buy-in, but kind of buy-in by the players, I'd be all for it. I'm very skeptical that we would get the buy-in from these guys.
But the NBA has to use Caitlin Clark to tell you
to
watch it.
I mean, that's embarrassing. I was watching... I think a 30 for 30 yesterday. I think it was the 30 for 30 on the gambling saga of Boston College back when college basketball was actually enjoyable, when the mob was involved. And so the commercial comes on, and it's for State Farm, and it's Caitlin Clark and, you know, State Farm Jay or whoever that guy is, and they're having the conversation. And at the end of the commercial, full screen graphic, don't forget to watch the WNBA and NBA on ESPN. And I'm like, wow. The NBA and WNBA is so bad. How bad are they? They're using a State Farm commercial to let people know that their product is on ESPN and you should tune in to watch that. Could you imagine an NFL game after a Mahomes commercial or an Andy Reid commercial? Make sure you catch the NFL on Peacock or, you know, whatever network you were watching it on. Like, the NBA is in such a devastating spot right now that the second most popular player in the sport is Caitlin Clark. She's more popular than any NBA player other than LeBron James. And I use the term popular loosely, of people you know. If you do a simple who do you know test, more people will know who Caitlin Clark is than any other NBA player out there. And they're now using Caitlin Clark to market the NBA. I mean, there's so many signs that show that this league is such a dog that they need to fix it. And the way you fix it is stop having your players opt out on Tuesday night. I was telling Dusty before the show how many people I've talked to over the years that have made road trips to go see certain teams play, and then that star player opts out. You drive 5 hours to Oklahoma City, player opts out. How do you become a fan? You drive the Minnesota, player opts out. You drive the Memphis, player opts out. Like, stop opting out, you idiots.
No, the idiots are the people that created the league. You don't need 82 games in a season to decide a champion.
No, but you know what? But this whole, like, you know...
And that's the problem, because they opt out. They're not necessarily idiots. It's a little strong. They opt out because they play Monday, then they play Tuesday, then they travel, and they play Friday, Saturday.
They play back.
That's the problem with the league.
But it only started in the last 10 years or so. Like, and I hate to go back to the Jordan days. Patrick Ewing, nobody was opting out load management back then. That is a very new thing. And while it's probably smart to do, and the league does need to cut games... They're not, and you're still charging people, and it's hard to create fans when your top players are sitting out games. That's how you grow the sport.
Because it also happens in baseball, because there's too many games, and fans that travel to, like, Say that you live in Omaha, Nebraska, and you want to come see Bobby Witt's a bad example because he's young and plays every game.
Yeah.
But say you live in, I don't know, Reno, Nevada, and you want to go see Shohei Ohtani play in L.A. You drive to L.A., and it's like, hey, he's not playing today because he's played the last 10 games. Sorry.
Yeah, but usually you have like a three-game series. If you're driving down on a Friday, you may take in two games. Chances are you're going to see Shohei Ohtani.
You're going to go to two out of three games?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, we do a baseball trip every year. We go to two out of three. If you're driving and you're making that effort and you're coming down there for the weekend, you're already
Makes sense.
Yeah, like if you're going to a Sunday afternoon game, well, you kind of know going in Sunday afternoons are rest days. That's why I always respected Ned. He never rested anybody at home and said, our fans are paying a premium to go see our good players play. I'm not resting our guys at home. If they need a rest, it'll be on the road. I don't care. but he was never resting those guys here in Kansas City because he said our fans pay good money to see Salvi and Haas and Moose and all these guys play. We're going to play them, and our fans want to see them. But, yeah, if you're going to a baseball game, I mean, you're probably coming down on a Friday, getting a Friday-Saturday game, headed back on Sunday. So you've got a couple of games in there where you can see that. The NBA is different because sometimes these teams go to a town one time, and you have that opportunity one time to see some of these players play, and they're using load management. That doesn't help the game. It just doesn't. It makes sense from a physical standpoint, but as we know, it's not about that. It's about dollars, and it's about growing the game, and it's about making the game better and picking up more fans along the way. I think for me, the opt-outs and the load management stuff really does have a major impact on the NBA and is a big reason why this league isn't growing right now.
No, there's just the two sports that are hurting the most in the world of sports are the NBA and Major League Baseball. That is a fact. And the reason why is because they're not adapting. And if they are, it's minimal. And they're just too long. Like, the NFL is obviously the perfect sport because of how quickly and how entertaining it is. Whereas, like, if baseball was a 100-game season, you're taking 62 games out.
Be like, fantastic.
Be awesome. The NBA is 82 games long. And it goes all the way until damn near the 4th of July. Dead serious.
Yeah,
watch when the NBA Finals is. The final game of the NBA Finals, if it were to go seven games,
June 26th.
Yeah, it'll be all the way to... You know it is, because Busby's giving you tornado warnings during the finals.
Yeah.
And that's June.
And then free agency does start the next day. I'll give them that. Like they get started with the best part of their season the week later.
But what have you said? Out of the games, the NBA is more entertaining off the field, court than it is on.
Yeah.
If you did 50 games in the NBA... Load management's gone. The season doesn't go as long as it should, and it's more entertaining.
Yeah.
Guys will actually play, and they're not taxing their body. Again, I don't know why we can't get to this conclusion when it comes to these things.
Simple, gate and money. And money. If you're going to take away 30 games, how are you going to make that up to the owners? They don't care about anything else other than money, and that's
but
the pushback.
You could also raise your ticket prices.
You could, but then...
Because now you don't have the... That's why ticket prices in baseball games are so cheap. It's like, oh, you don't want to go to this game? You got 81 other games to go to at your home.
Right.
Or 80.
Which is nice with NBA 2, to be honest. It is nice to be able to get a decent seat for $40.
But they will not do that unless you can show them a way to make up the exact amount of revenue. I've had a lot of conversation with baseball people, and it comes back to dollars. I mean, and that's the thing. What makes sense for sports doesn't make sense for business. And we have way too many people in sports that are from a business background and think business first, business second, business third, as opposed to what's good for the sport. Just look around the way that these teams operate right now. Artie Moreno is a prime example in Anaheim. How much does that guy really care about winning, right? They're 81-81, sell 3 million tickets, they're good to go. You know, you look at other teams around sports. How often or how much do they truly care about winning championships? How much does Jerry Jones care about winning? Honest to God, answer that question. How much does Jerry Jones care about winning? Probably not, but he knows he's the greatest show in town. He's got the three-ring circus, and he's printing money down there. So he doesn't care about that kind of stuff. I mean, a guy like John Sherman, that's a dude that cares about winning. I mean, the money that he spent over the last week alone, you know, re-signing players and GMs and managers and all this kind of stuff. He cares about winning. He wants to win. But it comes down to business versus the sport. And until the business side gets out of the way, the sports side is not going to change. And so until you can show the NBA owners how they're going to make up that money for cutting back games, they're just not going to do it. And the same goes for baseball. But even though sport would be better, business-wise, it would not be.
I think load management's part of the plethora of issues with the NBA, but I actually have it lower on my list. I think they've improved it a lot in the past few years with rules. I mean, you named the top 10 players, SGA, he plays. Jason Tatum, he plays
but
every game.
But the perception is for a guy like me who's 100%. A casual fan that these guys have this load management thing. How do you change that?
But my point is, let's say the perception wasn't there. You wouldn't start watching. that wouldn't bring you to basketball. These guys playing 82 games or make it 55 games, that wouldn't bring you to it. There's more issues. It's the three-pointers. It's the length of games. It's...
I don't mind the cutting the 2 minutes off each quarter.
I don't mind that either.
I think that's a great idea.
The time slot of games.
Time slot of games.
Like Saturday you can load up NBA with college basketball and just go back and forth.
Dude.
But they don't do it.
They don't do it.
They don't put compete. NBA games start on the weekend at like 3 or 4.
You know, when LeBron went to LA, Josh said at the time, he goes, "Yeah, I'm probably going to lose interest because it's West Coast." I go, "Yeah, but it's LeBron." LeBron on the West Coast is not a good thing.
Yes. He used to play on the East Coast.
Right, exactly. Yeah. He's playing games at 6 him. O'clock Central Time, 7 o'clock Mountain Time, right? That's normal time, or 5 o'clock Mountain Time, 6 o'clock yes. Central, 7 o'clock Eastern. Like, you can watch those players. Kids can watch those players. You got LeBron starting at 10 o'clock East Coast Time. You've lost an entire part of the country that's not paying attention. I think LeBron going to L.A. and to the West Coast was as bad a move as anything.
Also, this is a segment for another day, but mm-hmm. a take that I have, I think baseball and basketball are also figured out as sports. Like, they have been figured out how to win, how to mm-hmm. be good, and it makes it more boring. That's what's great about football. It's not figured out. We are still learning. We don't know.
The Chiefs seem to figure it out.
That's true. We got it figured out.
Yeah, don't give anybody the secret.
I think the three biggest problems with basketball, if we're going to break. By the way, I think we can all agree our tough Tuesdays are LeBron and the NBA.
Yeah,
All-Star.
It's Tuesday.
It's tough. It's LeBron and the
right,
NBA. Yeah.
100%.
We're all here. I think the NBA's three biggest problems. Number one, they got too political. By far.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that, like, and we know this from radio, politics and sports divide. It's like church and state. Just keep it divided. It's the way it goes. They got too political in NBA. Two, I think the other big problem is the talent. It's super good because watch college basketball and you'll watch Duke and Virginia last night and go 2.5 minutes and not a shot's made. In the NBA, the talent's
there. 5 minutes into the Texas A&M game and they still had 0 points on Saturday.
Believe it. And then three, I just don't think that basketball in general, from college to the NBA, has that love, has that desire, that fire, that people want to watch it. Like, Steph and Golden State had it for like 2 years. And then they signed Kevin Durant and everyone hated him because all they did was win and blow people out and win championships. And like, somebody else come along. And then it was like Giannis was cool for like 5 minutes, and now no one cares anymore.
Do you think the demise of college basketball with the one-and-dones, the NILs, the international growth have hurt college or hurt the pros? I think 100%. It has, too, because I think for the casual fan, I should say, you're looking at the NBA draft. You don't recognize any of these games. Back in the day, you said, I watched that guy at Duke. I watched that guy in Kentucky. I watched that guy at Kansas. I watched that guy at Syracuse.
I used to know how many lottery picks one team had. I mean, they have 9 chances to get the first pick.
Yeah.
And then it'd be like, the San Antonio Spurs are picking first. How does Cleveland keep getting this screwed?
You give Wemby to, you know, the guy who developed the last big guy. So it makes sense.
That whole thing.
But I think that does play a factor because you knew Tim Duncan coming out. You knew all of these guys in college. You formed these bonds with them. I mean, people don't like college anymore because of it.
100%. The NBA is so bad. The best player in college basketball says he's coming back.
How
next
about
year.
That? That's I mean, it. Yeah.
Cooper Flagg's like, I'm not leaving.
Which I was like, all right, Cooper, way to
good
go, kid.
Yeah. Well, he's got a Gatorade NIL deal. Yeah, he's the first American athlete to get that.
But you know what? That's using your brain in all of this. Stay around. Have fun. Make some good money. You don't need to race to the NBA. Enjoy being the face of college basketball at Duke, for God's sakes.
Yeah, boy. Well, there you go. We found the one NBA fan on the text line, so that's good. Yeah, that's great. That's good.
I like the NBA too, Texter, but you can still recognize the problems.
Yes.
It's like baseball. When I talk about the problems in baseball, I love baseball, but it's got some issues.
It's got issues, man.
No, but they've changed a lot of them.
I will watch the NBA multiple times through the week because I love matchups and players. I will watch the LA Lakers until I fall asleep at night because I love watching Luka and LeBron. But the NBA needs to fix itself. There are a lot of holes and the ship is sinking. So, yes, we can knock the NBA. It's not perfect. It's not rainbows and butterflies, 913. Sorry, that's just the way it is. Neither does the NFL.
No.
Every sport has its issues. Everyone.
Just some have more than others.
Yeah.
Coming up on the other side, we get into what was the highlight of the weekend, the SNL 50th anniversary show. Yeah, you are going to hate it, but we love it. We'll talk about it next here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
I just want to say how awesome it is to have Bob Fesco and Legend Likens on every morning to start my day. I freaking love you guys.
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5, The Fan.
Hopefully you all are driving safe, but hopefully while you're driving you have 96.5 The Fan on. That'd be awesome. If you do, Tell somebody else to listen. We would love that. Stay safe out there. The grunt of the weather yet to come, so they say. I promise we're done hating on the NBA. We vented. We had our time. And I love this time of year because...
When else are we going to vent on the NBA too, right?
Not only that, but so many people like talk sports. What sports?
Well, K-State played last night and they lost.
And if you were interested in that game, you watched it last night. You don't need us to tell you about it.
Did KU play last night?
I have no idea. If they did and you saw that game, you watched it, great.
I know there's a big game on Wednesday night. Mizzou versus Alabama in Mizzou. So that'll be fun. I don't even think K-State played last night. I think their women played last night. Kansas plays tonight at 8 o'clock against BYU. So that's cool. That's college basketball for you. Nobody even knows who's playing. Let's see here. Yeah, Kansas State did play last night. They lost to Utah. Utah on a heater against Kansas teams. Beat the Jayhawks on Saturday night. Beat the Wildcats on Monday night. Look at those boys from Utah. But speaking of, how about that Saturday Night Live 50th anniversary show?
That was fantastic. Yeah, it was great.
I tweeted out Saturday night and said, I'll be watching the entire SNL thing. I don't care about any NBA. Because this is where my focus was. This was where, like, we talk about sports and how they bring a generation and a generation and a generation all together. I don't know what does that more than Saturday Night Live.
It was great.
Your grandparents and your parents and you and maybe your kids all have a genre or a decade that they were in love with Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, my parents were texting me about it. Yeah.
They were watching.
Yeah, absolutely they were. And if you said you didn't cry during the Adam Sandler thing, you're lying to yourself. I can't remember the last time I started crying watching something on TV like
that.
He seems to always do that.
God, it was so good. Yeah, I mean, like, his best friend is dead at a young age.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then Norm MacDonald had recently passed away, so then he, you know, can incorporate both of them. A lot of people said that's the way they should have ended the show.
Yeah, I thought that too, but I mean, ending it with, you know, Paul McCartney, I think is a pretty solid ending to
a show. I thought it was hilarious.
Right?
They started the show with Sabrina Carpenter and Paul Simon.
Right, exactly.
Like, he's like, I wrote this song in 1976. She's like, I wasn't even alive yet. And neither were my parents.
Yeah. I was like, and I go, that would have been true for me if my kids said that. I wasn't born then. And, you know, but I thought it was just so well done. And
it was great.
I thought there were, like, for me, there were a couple of key moments. Obviously, the Adam Sandler thing is tops. Nothing will top that. Mm-hmm. I thought Miley Cyrus singing Sinead O'Connor, Nothing Compares to You, was powerful as well, based on what the past was. And they brought that song back. R.I.P. I thought that was fantastic. And then Paul McCartney at the end. You know, I'm not the hugest of Beatle fans and whatnot, but I understand the impact.
I thought he was in Wings.
That they had. He was. He was great in Wings. He was the pilot. And so watching them, you know, watching him perform at the end, I thought was really cool as well. And Meryl Streep, did you mention to me, I thought she was great in this.
Abduction scene was great.
I mean, it was so good.
Where'd you go? I took a 1, 2, and a 3.
Yeah.
Because Kate McKinnon's hilarious.
Hilarious.
If you've never seen that bit before, that's an hilarious bit.
Yeah.
And see, like, that's the thing is, like, Kate McKinnon would technically be past my prime of Saturday Night Live. Because, like, I was one of those guys, like everybody else, because, like, I know you probably know this because we're all three huge fans of it. But, like, when they originally came out and then those stars in the 80s came in and everyone's like, oh, they'll never be Belushi and Aykroyd and all
everybody
these guys.
Everybody says that.
And then all of a sudden, you know, nobody's going to be Gilda. Nobody's going to be these guys. And all of a sudden here comes Eddie Murphy and, you know, Phil Hartman's kind of late early 90s, late 80s. But, like, all those people came and they're like, oh, it's terrible. And then 5 years later go by and you're like,
they're really good.
That's actually really good. Yeah. And then all those people are like, who's this Sandler, Farley, Spade, you know, all these guys.
Right.
They suck. Oh, wait. Right, actually,
that's arguably
really
the best generation, you know.
Yeah. And then
but it's funny. Like everybody doesn't want to admit that the next generation is okay, you know.
So we put together our top five cast members of all time on Saturday Night Live, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you want to start or do you want me to start?
Yeah, you can go ahead and start.
Okay. So mine are pretty easy, and I have reasons why. Chris Farley will always be number one. I think he's the funniest person I've ever seen in my entire life. I'm a very biased Chris Farley fan to the day I die.
Mm-hmm.
Will Ferrell, Phil Hartman, Norm MacDonald, and Sherry O'Terry.
Sherry O'Terry.
The reason why, remember, and Rachel Dratch is a runner-up because her Debbie Downer thing on at 50, that's just a hilarious skit. Farley, because there's nobody that brought out more people than Chris Farley. Will Ferrell, because, well, it's Will. Like, his scene where he's like, yeah, I was adopted and abandoned, and I became, like, an And then like Phil Hartman, he was just, he's like Kling. He's just naturally dry, funny. Like you have to think about it, but when you do, it hits you in a way where you're like, damn it. Mm-hmm. And then Norm, because
Kling had the best line ever in my entire life at the bar on Friday night to
probably.
Mac.
Yeah. I mean, and you didn't see it coming. Like you literally like, what? And then Norm MacDonald, because of Weekend Update, there's nobody been any better. Maybe Daryl Hammond was, not Daryl Hammond, but gosh, the guy that did.
I know who you're talking about. Why am I drawing a blank?
I don't know, but he did it for a while. He was hilarious. And then O'Terry, because you get Will and O'Terry to do the cheerleader bit.
Yeah.
And she's just hilarious. So those are my five for a reason.
Yeah, I've got five on my list as well. Will Ferrell coming in at number one for me. He's my GOAT of all time. He's somebody that I've always just kind of watched and looked and tried to learn from. I think he's hysterical. He can make me laugh just by looking at me. You know, when he used to do the George Bush and he would have that blank stare like that, that would always just make me laugh. He didn't have to say a word.
Did you watch W?
No.
That he did?
I did not.
Oh.
No.
Oh, God.
Is it good?
Oh,
funny?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll have to watch that.
It's a stand-up.
Yeah. Chris Farley makes the list because, I mean, you can tell when somebody's funny when other comedians are laughing and trying not to laugh.
Up.
Right, yes. And he did that all the time. Adam Sandler, obviously. Chevy Chase, because he was just outrageously funny. I know he's not, like, the nicest guy. Nobody really wants to work with him. But that guy was hysterical. And Gilda Radner, for me, I found myself in a Gilda Radner rabbit hole yesterday just watching some of the great skits that she did over the years. And Rosanna Dana is one of the top skits of Saturday Night Live of all time, where she I mean, it's just hysterical. Her and Jane Curtin doing a bit back and forth. So Gilda Radner always, to me, will be up there. She was absolutely hysterical and a trendsetter as well.
Yeah, she's widely regarded as like the best female cast member.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would go Norm and Eddie, and then I'd go from the newer generations. Fred Armisen, Kristen Wiig, and Bill Hader.
Mm-hmm. Kristen Wiig's small hand bit is hilarious.
Yeah, it's hysterical. Okay. Yeah,
and
Bill Hader's becoming a legend right now on Saturday Night Live, too.
Oh, yeah. Do you know who Gilda Radner was married to?
No.
Oh, really? Okay.
Gene Wilder.
Yeah.
He said when she died, he died.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I did not know that.
Things you didn't know, now you do. Gilda Radner is hilarious. Nobody said Michael Myers. Nobody said Dana Carvey.
Because there's so many.
Yeah,
you asked me to do another five, it could come up with five different.
And that's the thing, is so many people.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't Dennis Miller who I was thinking of on the weekend update. It was, gosh.
I follow the guy on Twitter now, too, and it's going to drive me nuts.
Come on, we got 2 seconds. All right, you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. We'll find out who that was on the other side as we dive into what a wonderful weekend it was for your Kansas City Royals. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
913-586-7965. Call in right now and tell me how much I suck.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.